Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, hi there, church. Thanks so much for joining us online again today. And I trust you've had a really good week. And as you've just seen from that promo, we're really looking forward to the release of Pastor Andre's new book very soon. And make sure you get yourself a copy of it. I think it's going to be a fantastic resource and a much needed encouragement in the times that we find ourselves in. Then also want to just encourage you to get vaccinated. I know we mentioned it quite a few times already, but especially as it opens up to all age groups now, especially the younger people, I want to encourage you to get vaccinated. I think it's the best thing to do, and I think it's the right thing to do. And all the current research shows that people who have been vaccinated are less likely to be infected. And then, of course, you are less likely to pass it on to other people as well. So do what you need to do, and I would strongly encourage you to get vaccinated. Well, today we're going to continue with part five of our teaching series on the parables of Jesus. And we've seen that Jesus often used stories or parables to teach people how God's kingdom works. And in fact, the parables actually comprise about 35% of all his teaching in the Gospels. And one Bible commentator says the following. He says, a parable is a short story that seeks to drive home a point by illustrating it using a familiar situation of common life. A parable is a teaching device in which a principle is concealed and a truth revealed, giving the hearer first sight, then insight. It is like a mirror and a window where we see through to truth about God, but like a mirror, it forces us to look at ourselves. And today I want to look at the very first recorded parable of Jesus in the Bible, and it's the parable of the sower. Now, Jesus used this story while preaching to a very large crowd. And we read in Matthew 13, verse 3, Jesus said, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And then still other seed fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. So again, Jesus used a simple farming illustration that all his listeners would be familiar with. And then we skip a few verses and we go on to the explanation that he gave. In verse 18, Jesus said, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Verse 22 says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. But the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, Jesus told this parable to show that there are four different responses to the word, and depending on how open the heart of the person is, that would determine how much fruit would be produced in their life and also how much transformation would actually take place. You know, I think in every church around the world, there are people who've sat in services for years and years, people who've heard hundreds of different messages preached, yet there never seems to be anything in their life that changes. I'm sure you've noticed that. You know, these people are still negative. They still complain. They still lack faith. They still have the same issues they've had for 5 or 10 years, and they never seem to move ahead in life. Why is that? Well, Jesus taught that if the soil of the heart is not right, then the seed of the word cannot penetrate properly and take root. You know, have you noticed how two people can be in the same service sitting next to each other, both hear the same message from the same preacher? One goes home and says, wow, that was a fantastic message, a word in season, exactly what I needed to hear. The other person goes home and says, nah, I never got anything from that today, and I didn't think the preacher was at his best. You see, our response to the word is always dependent on the condition of our hearts. Now, I want you to imagine the following for a moment. If today, at the start of this online service, we said to you, church, today, before you can access the service and going to worship, you need to first do 10 push-ups. That'll give you access to the service, 10 push-ups. Now, I think we'd probably get a number of different responses in the comment section. And in fact, maybe right now you can actually type in your response there. But firstly, some of you would say, yes, awesome, no problem. I love doing push-ups. In fact, I've already just done my 10. Secondly, some of you would say, well, that's a bit of an odd thing to ask us, but, you know, okay, strange things are happening in our country. Maybe this is COVID-related, and I suppose I can squeeze out 10 push-ups. Then thirdly, some of you would say, are you mad? I've never done a push-up in my life. This is ridiculous. You would type in, definitely not doing any push-ups. No way. Then fourthly, some of you would just be highly offended because you're convinced that only the devil would make people do push-ups before church. And well, you'd immediately switch off the stream and you'd find another online service to watch. You see, all these four responses would be to the same thing that was said. Each of you would have heard the same instruction from the same person, but depending on whether it was convenient for you or not, and also depending on the condition of your physical heart and your physical well-being, well, that would determine whether you'd be willing to do 10 push-ups before the service started. And that's kind of what Jesus was getting across here. He was saying there are four different responses that people have when they listen to the word being preached. And he used the parable of a farmer scattering seed across the land. And depending on where each seed landed, it then determined the outcome of what was produced from that seed. And something very important that we see in this parable is that there are three things in common with each response. The first thing they had in common was the source. The source here in this parable was the farmer. The same farmer scattered all the seed. The second thing in common was the seed itself. The seed was the same. There's nothing to indicate that different types of seed were used. It was the same seed that came from the same bag. And then the third thing in common was the scattering. That was also the same. The farmer used the same consistency to scatter the seed across the soil. Jesus didn't say he put, you know, one seed in one type of soil and then 10 seeds in another place to give it a better chance to grow. No, it was the same source, the same seed, and the same scattering of the seed. The only variable was the type of soil on which the seed landed. That was the only difference. But yet the type of soil was the thing that determined whether the seed would grow or not. And the type of soil really is a parallel Jesus used for the condition of our hearts. When our heart is good and soft, well, then it's responsive to the word so that the seed can take root and grow and accomplish in our lives exactly what God intended for it to. Church, remember that the effectiveness of the word has less to do with the person preaching the word. It has less to do with the passage of scripture that is being used. And it has less to do with the preaching style of the person. It is mostly dependent on the condition of the heart of the person sitting under the word. You know, I've realized that some people are in the habit of always leaving churches. The moment they get annoyed or offended, well, they up and go to the next church. They're always looking for a better preacher or a man of God with a greater anointing, always looking for some form of deeper teaching. But see, it's never as much about the source or the seed or the scattering as it is about the soil. It's the condition of the heart that determines the responsiveness to the Word of God. So let's look at the responses that Jesus taught in this parable of the sower. The first response is this: it's the hard heart. Verse 4 and 19, Jesus speaks about the seed that fell on the footpath. Now, if you've ever planted something, you know the worst place to plant is the footpath. Nobody plants anything on the footpath. Why? Well, because it's never going to grow. You know, in ancient times, farmers would plant their entire fields by hand, and some seed would naturally land on the path that he would walk on, but those footpaths were completely hard. And as more and more people walked on them, well, they'd eventually become compacted. And that's also a great illustration of what can happen to our own hearts over time. They become hard and compacted. And the Bible actually tells us in Zechariah 7 verse 12, and here God speaking of his own people says that they made their hearts as hard as stone, so they could not. Notice, they could not hear the instructions or the messages that the Lord of heaven's armies had sent them by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that when your heart is hard, you actually cannot hear the Word of God. You know, whether God speaks through his Spirit or through his Word or through a preacher, because your heart has become hard, the Word doesn't penetrate your heart and therefore it can't take root. You know, we don't start our lives with hard hearts. You know, if you think about kids for a moment, their hearts are soft. They're easily teachable. Kids are open to instruction and learning, but you know, then as we journey through life and we experience hurt and rejection and disappointment and COVID goes on way longer than we ever thought, our hearts can very easily become hard. And I want to maybe just illustrate this for you with something that I've used before, but this is obviously a balloon. You know, it's soft and it's tender. And if I had to put a sharp needle to it, well, it would very easily penetrate it. And this is what a soft heart looks like. The Word can very easily penetrate it. But then, of course, life happens and we, you know, we get involved in things we shouldn't. People say things about us. We hold on to bitterness. We experience disappointment. And, you know, of course, then come all the unmet expectations of life. And what all these things do is they add layers to our hearts. And the heart that was once soft and tender now becomes calloused. And if we don't deal with our issues very quickly, well, we can get to the place where our hearts now become completely hard. And now they cannot be penetrated, so that every time we sit under the Word is unable to take root the way that God has intended for it to do. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, says of this that it's easy for birds to pick up seed which lies exposed on a trodden path. If the soil has been good and the seed has entered it, he would have had far greater difficulty. But a hard heart does the devil's work for him. Isn't that interesting? He says, there lies the unreceived word on the surface of the soul, and he takes it away. Another author, Stephen Cole, who's written extensively on the parables of Jesus, says that Satan hardens people's hearts by the traffic of worldly philosophies. People engage in worldly, man-centered thinking so often that their hearts grow calloused to the truth of God. For example, many in our culture are so steeped in the postmodern ideas that it doesn't matter what you believe, that they automatically reject the exclusive claims of the gospel. It's ironic that these are people who would scoff at the idea of a personal devil, and yet that very devil is the one who snatches away the seed of the gospel from them. Fortunately for us, the book of Hosea in the Old Testament gives us the solution for a hard heart. And in chapter 10, verse 12, the Lord says, "Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you." You know, every farmer knows that before he plants his seed, he needs to first plow up the hard ground. Because over time, that soil becomes hard. And if he plants his seed without plowing, well, it'll be just like the seed Jesus spoke about that landed here on the footpath. But by plowing the soil, the seed can go deep down and it can take root and produce the harvest that God intends for it to. You know, God's word is given to bless us, to prosper us, to change us, to grow us, to make us more like Jesus, and really to help us in every single area of life. But church, we have to break open the hard soil of our hearts. And the way we plow up our hearts spiritually is through the continual practice of worship. You know, so often I think we underestimate the power of worship in our lives. I think people often view it as the warm-up before the word or something to make us feel good on a Sunday. But church worship is never just the warm-up. The Christian author Holly Girth says that worship is an act of war against the enemy of our hearts. You see, what worship does is it keeps the devil from getting a grip on our hearts. It prevents the issues of life, as we've seen from that balloon, from attaching themselves to our hearts. Worship is really the plow that softens our heart, that plows open the hardness, so that when we sit under the word in a service, our heart is open, it's receptive. So irrespective of who the preacher is or what the message is about, the word can immediately penetrate deep and can begin to sprout and produce a harvest in your life. Can you say amen to that? Then secondly is the semi-committed heart. The semi-committed heart. In verse 20, Jesus said, "The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word." You know, it's interesting. Jesus says that these hearts initially respond with joy to the word as they sit in church or watch online. You know, the immediate response is, "Yes, thank you, Lord. I receive that word for my life." But that's generally as far as it goes. And because of a lack of commitment, there's never any fruit to show that anything has actually changed on the inside. And this sadly represents many people in all churches around the world who only have semi-committed hearts. You know, they want to be involved in church, but not too involved. They want to be committed, but not too committed. And really what these people want is to keep their options open. Now, imagine if you took that approach with your marriage. You know, if I had to say to my wife, Yannette, "Well, you know, we've been married for a while, but maybe we should keep our options open just to see if someone better comes along." How many of you know that kind of marriage will never last? You see, the only way you build something is when your roots go down deep. And that requires a full commitment, a full surrender, rather than a shallow, rocky type of faith. You see, for faith to do what it needs to do in us, the seed of the word needs roots that go deep down. On another occasion, when Jesus was teaching in John chapter 6, many couldn't accept what he was saying. And verse 60 says, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?'" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" And it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You see, our response to the word can't simply be an emotional one. You know, people respond to God in all our services, even online, but not everyone who responds goes on to bear fruit in their life. Why? Because sometimes it turns out to be an emotional response, one that makes you feel better in the moment, you know, one that lifts a burden off your life. But the moment you feel better, you go back to doing everything you did before. John Phillips, the Bible commentator, says of this type of heart that there was just enough soil to give promise, but not enough to give performance. What is depicted for us here is mere profession of faith rather than true possession of Christ. You know, what Jesus is asking for is a full commitment to God. Don't let it be a shallow, half-hearted, rocky road commitment. Because what happens, Jesus said, is you will sprout something initially in your life, but the moment the hot sun comes out and the pressures of life begin to weigh down upon you, that which is sprouted, well, it's going to shrivel up and die because it didn't have roots that were deep enough to withstand all the pressures and the hardships of life. Can I encourage you, church, when you serve God with everything. Don't serve Him half-heartedly. When you give to the Lord, give with a full commitment. When you attend church or watch online as you're doing today, be fully engaged. And when as you begin to commit fully, your roots begin to deepen and strengthen, and they begin to produce spiritual fruit in your life. Then the third type of response is the divided heart. The divided heart. Verse 22, Jesus said that the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, and so no fruit is produced. You know, again, Jesus said this seed began to sprout, but eventually was just overcome by the desire for wealth and the things of this world. And I think this often happens when our hearts are divided. People respond to the word. It takes root in their lives, but there are always other things competing with their affection for the Lord. Their hearts are divided between the things of God and the things of this world. And we see in his second letter to Timothy that Paul wrote about a guy called Demas who was previously a faithful, committed co-worker alongside Paul. But then he says to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 10, that Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. So clearly, the seed of the word had taken root in Demas's life, but it was choked out by the thorns that he allowed to grow. And like so many people, Demas still wanted to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. His heart was divided. He wanted to pursue God, but he also wanted to pursue wealth and material things. He wanted to be part of building the kingdom, but he also wanted to build his own kingdom. His heart was divided between loyalty to Christ and loyalty to the things that he used to do and the people he used to be involved with in his past. You see, it would seem that Demas was still too attached to old friends and old acquaintances and old habits and old thinking and old behavior. And because his heart was divided, well, eventually it got to the point where he did fall away. You know, the Bible very clearly says you cannot serve God and the things of this world because you will get pulled in two different directions. And eventually, when you live with that tension, well, you will always get pulled further away from God. You know, there's an interesting and an attractive water plant called the parrot feather. And it looks like a small forest of fir trees growing on top of the water. And in the springtime, it actually produces like a blanket of small white flowers. I mean, it's very pretty, but it's also highly poisonous. And it forms a thick mat of vegetation that covers the surface of lakes and ponds. And what it eventually does is it simply chokes out the plants and destroys the fish and the wildlife. And that's exactly what happens with a divided heart. The seed that God intends to grow is choked out and eventually destroyed by the other things that still have a hold on our lives. The American pastor and author Adrian Rogers asks the question, why is it that so many people are unfruitful? Well, I'll tell you why. They have never let go of this world with both hands and taken Jesus Christ with both hands. You know, I wonder if maybe there's still something in your life that you're holding on to that's causing you to live with a divided heart. And sometimes that thing is to do with your past. You know, I've realized that every now and then our past comes back to knock on our door. And very often, just when you think you're doing really well, you know, when you're feeling so spiritual and, oh Lord, look at me, I'm such a good Christian now, knock, 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 knock on your door. And sometimes, you know, that knock will come in the form of an old friend that you used to party with, and they'll say, hey, buddy, remember how we used to party? It was awesome. Come on, get alive. And there's that temptation to go. You know, sometimes the knock comes in the form of an old boyfriend or girlfriend, and one day you're reading your Bible and you get the SMS. Hi, just happened to be thinking about you, P.S., feeling really lonely. And all of a sudden you're taken back in time, and you know, my wife, yeah, she always nags me, and I'm sure that girl never used to nag me, and yeah, maybe I need to go see her. Sometimes that knock will come in the form of a place you used to hang out in. And then on a Monday morning after the weekend, you drive to work past that old place, and it's like it pulls at you. Oh yeah, we used to have such a good time there. We used to drink and smoke weed, and ah, yes. And you feel that pullback that is still there because your heart is still divided. You haven't let go of the things you need to let go of. In fact, let me say this. Some of you watching this stream today had a rough night last night. Drinking, partying, socializing. You say, how do you know? We know. Your heart is still divided. Can I urge you, embrace Christ with both hands. Let go of what you're chasing or what you're trying to hold on to. Take hold of Jesus and let the seed of His word do what it needs to do in your life. Can you say amen to that? And then the fourth response we see is the surrendered heart. In verse 23, Jesus said, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, biblical scholars say that back in Bible times in Israel, a typical harvest would be somewhere between fivefold and tenfold at the most. But Jesus here spoke of a harvest that produced 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. That's not a natural harvest. That's a supernatural harvest. And Jesus was really emphasizing the power of God's word when it encounters a surrendered heart. You know, God's word is perfect. It's eternal. It cannot fail us. And when it lands on the fertile soil of a heart that is yielded to God, well, the results it produces are beyond anything that we can accomplish in the natural. But if the heart is hard, or only semi-committed, or if it gets choked up by the things of this world, well, then the seed cannot accomplish what God intends for it to in our lives. There's that funny story of the three-year-old girl whose name was Katie, and she was taken to the pediatrician for a checkup, and the doctor, who was very good with kids, started to examine her ears, and he looked in there and he said, ooh, I wonder, will I find Mickey Mouse in there? And Katie looked at him and said, no. He then looked in her throat and he said, I wonder, will I find the cookie monster in there? She looked at him a bit concerned and said, no. Then he listened to her heart and he said, I wonder, will I find Barney the dinosaur in there? Well, little Katie was horrified and she said to him, no, you won't. She said, Jesus is in my heart. Barney's on my underpants. You see, her heart was still soft. And she understood that it's reserved for Jesus. And I wonder today, what is there in your heart that you are sharing Jesus with? You see, the seed of the word cannot do what it needs to do unless our hearts are surrendered to the Lord. In Psalm 57, verse 7, the writer says to God, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. That word steadfast is the Hebrew word kun, and it literally means to be prepared, to be ready, to be certain. In other words, Lord, my heart is prepared to receive your word. Lord, my heart is ready for your instruction. Lord, my heart is surrendered to whatever you deposit or plant in my life today. You see, church, whenever the word is preached and our hearts are surrendered, it immediately takes root and begins to produce life transformation on the inside. I think so many people are trying to be better behaved on the outside. You know, it's like, if I can just change this thing in my life and if I can just be a bit more like that. But the truth is, you're never going to change the outside until the inside has been transformed. And that's exactly what the word does. It penetrates our hearts. It transforms us from the inside. The word changes our desires, which then change our thinking, and eventually our behavior and our habits on the outside also change. Church, I want to pray for people in a moment to fully surrender to the Lord. Jesus died for our sins so that we could be made right with God. The Bible says that if we repent of our sins, we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And then the Word of God begins to change us and make us more like Christ. Would you let go of whatever it is that you're holding on to or whatever is holding you back from fully surrendering to Jesus? God loves you. God has a purpose for your life. And God desires for you to spend eternity in heaven with Him. But as Jesus says, you need to first surrender your life to Him by accepting Christ Himself as your Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me today? Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, today I surrender my heart in full to you. I let go of anything and everything else that I'm prioritizing, anything that is choking out your word from multiplying and being fruitful in my life. I confess Jesus as Lord. I repent of my past sins. I confess my need of Jesus as Savior. Thank you, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, I am born again today. Thank you that I have a hope and a future. My heart is fully surrendered to Jesus. Have your way in me so that your word can do what it needs to do in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And all those who prayed that prayer said, amen. Well, if you did make that decision to surrender your heart in full to the Lord, I want to congratulate you and to know that we are cheering you on. And I'd love to direct you to our website. There's some great information that you can access regarding the decision you made. Or alternatively, you can WhatsApp the number on screen right now and one of our team will get back to you. And we'd love to just encourage you and walk a journey with you as you've made this decision today. Well, thanks so much for joining us online. And go out into the week and be the hands and feet of Jesus in your workplace and your community. Let's keep praying that church will open up very soon. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.